Praise God. It's just wonderful to gather around the Lamb of God. You know, as soon as a church moves away from that, as soon as an individual or a preacher moves away from that, it's all over. All of Satan's working, and hear me well, all of the devil's working, all of his stratagems, all of his thoughts, all of his lies are to separate between you and the blood of the Lamb. If he can do that in a church, in the worship, the stop singing the songs about the blood. I spoke to a worship leader. He was the worship leader in the biggest Pentecostal church in this land. He'd left it by the time I spoke to him, a young guy. And he was only just saved to put him in the worship team. Said Monday morning, first thing, and this is true, wasn't even saved a year. First thing Monday morning, he was at the Christian bookshop to get the latest CD because they didn't want to sing the same song again. And he said, you know what? I was out of that church a year at least before I even heard songs about the blood. They didn't sing about the blood. He said, we didn't sing one song about the blood of Jesus Christ. And you wonder why the devil is defeating the church. Since we don't look at numbers. And I'm looking for a revival. And I'm looking for the power of God to come down in this city. And I'm looking for the worst to get saved. There's nothing nice about a small church. There isn't. But I'm telling you, you can have a lot of people gathered and they don't have the blood and they don't have the truth and they don't have the reality. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Ready to preach?
Amen.
You're going to preach with me this morning. Amen. Please turn with me to 1 John chapter 5. And we're on our series on being born again. Do you know, we know the term. So many talk about the term. But I am very convinced in this hour that so few really understand what it means to be born again. You know, the elementary things, the basic things, the simple things, the familiar things, the things that we're used to, that we know and we've known for so long, those things can become so familiar that we lose the power of them, the reality and the knowledge. And that's a great danger. My message this morning is victory over the devil. Victory over the devil. We have looked at victory over sin. And last week we dealt with victory over the world. But we want to look at victory over the devil here this morning. 1 John chapter 5, reading from verse 18. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 18. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. And we know that the Son of God is come, and hath given us an understanding, that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. Little children, keep yourselves from idols. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the blood this morning. We're praying about it. And we're singing about it. We're remembering it. We're rejoicing in it. There is a power in the shed blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary. My God, there's wonder working power. It saved us out of our sin. Lord God, it broke the power of the devil in our lives. It delivered us. We're redeemed by the blood this morning. We're sprinkled. We're sanctified. We're washed. And my God, even this morning, we overcome the evil one, the accuser of the brethren, the adversary of the soul, nor God, the deceiver, the liar, the cheat, nor God, the one who comes to buffet, to deceive, nor God, to sift us as wheat. My God, we stand here on the basis, the foundation of the precious blood. We overcome, we gain a victory over the accuser of the brethren, over the one who stands before our Heavenly Father, accusing us day and night. My God, we gain a victory. And even in this meeting this morning, my way of the blood of the Lamb, nor God, and the testimony, nor God, the testimony of what you've done in our life, none of the revelation of Christ, and nor God, we're here. There's our nothing else than to live for you. What a victory is gained, Lord God, at Calvary. And we pray, O God, today, set us free. Deliver us out of the stratagems of the devil, his lies, his deceptions, every false teaching, nor God, every discouragement, nor God, every apathy, nor God, every deception unto sin. We ask of you, O God, that by your grace and your mercy, let your truth bring illumination, let it bring life, let it bring light, let it bring deliverance this morning, and bless your word to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise God. We're dealing here this morning. We have done over the past couple of months on what it really means to be born again. We want to understand what a born again Christian looks like. How he gets born again. What happens when he gets born again. And those who are truly born again, what do they look like? What is the mark of their character? Oh, I know that a true sinner, or a true saint, or a true born again believer can sin, but that cannot be the mark of his life. Saints, I know that the devil may gain a victory, but if that's where you live, there's something terribly wrong. We're preaching here on victory over the devil. Look with me again at this verse. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. And we dealt with that 2 weeks ago. But he that is begotten of God, he who is birthed of God, he who has had a second birth, a birth and experience from on high, he keepeth himself. Notice that. It's them who are born again, keepeth himself. And that wicked one touches him not. Who? The one that is birthed of God. We are looking at what it really means to be birthed of God. And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Just look at those verses that we read here in 1 John chapter 5, verse 18. Verse 18, we know. Verse 19, and we know. Verse 20, and we know. In 1 John, as we said last week, John chapter 3, Jesus gives the command, ye must be born again. It is a clear command to the sinner. You must be born again. He gives the command. But when we come over to 1 John, what we find is 5 chapters of teaching on what it means to be born again. John 3 is the command to a sinner. You must be born again. But in 1 John we have remarkable teaching of what it looks like to be born again. What it means. We have the biblical teaching, the definition, the broadening, the revealing of what it truly means to be born again. And in 1 John, John uses this word know actually 36 times. 36 times in 5 chapters, he says, we know, we know, we know. Saints, what is a born again Christian? There's some things that he knows. There's lots of things in this world I don't know. Don't ask me to fix your engine. Don't let me at your electrics in your house. Don't let me try to do some carpentry in your house. But I assure you, there's 36 things that I know very well in 1 John. I have read them. I've prayed about them. I have lived them out. The word know means to actually see. Your eyes are open. Not talking about physical sight. It's talking about the inner spiritual man. You've been born again. And now you've had eyes, spiritual eyes that are open. I see. Now I understand. Now I comprehend. That's what it means to be born again. You suddenly know, you understand certain things. And that's what it says here in these verses. We know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not. I know that. He will not be a habitual sinner. Now I want to tell you, in most churches today that don't know that. You've got some wee guy and girl sleeping together. They speak in tongues. They say they're born again. But here they are coming to the Lord's table. And we say, sure, they love the Lord. They've just got difficulties. They've got a demon of lust. You know, they've just got trouble. But sure, they're born again. No, they are not. If they can actually bring together a Christian life and say they can commit fornication, and sure, this is normal, and this is your Christian life. Do you know what John says? We know that whosoever is born of God doesn't perpetually live in sin. That is not their normal habitat. They aren't saying, I can have heaven and the world as well. No, you can't. Oh, I can have heaven and I can have my sin as well. I can enjoy Christ, but I can go out and live in the devil's world. No, you cannot. You will be forced to make a decision. And I want to tell you, there's more of the devil in today's church than we could ever imagine. You know why? Because we don't know anymore. Do you know you can hardly find a preacher who knows that anymore? Oh, sure, they're okay. No, they're not. They're on their way to hell. Yeah. They don't know that. And we know that we are of God. Do you know that? Do you know what it looks like? And we know that the Son of God is come. And we are in Him and He is truth. We need to get back to preaching Christ. Not all sorts of how to have a good marriage. Or how to be prosperous. Or how to enjoy your life here. Saints, that's all trash. The teaching of the Bible is how to live in Christ, how to live for Christ, and how to let Christ live through you. I know certain things. And so John brings us to this. We know that whosoever is born of God looks a certain way. You can tell. It wasn't a sinner's prayer. Oh, I said a sinner's prayer. No, I'm watching you. I'm listening to you. I look at your life. That's how I know. How do I know you're born again? By your life. I just look at you. It's not your testimony. I got saved out of drugs. Really? Really, do you hate your brother? Do you hate your brother? Do you get drunk? Do you go out into that world? I tell you, just let me, I'll find out if you're born again or not. You see, that's what he begins to say here. And notice here in verse 18 and verse 19, we actually have these three things that we've dealt with over the past 2 weeks and here this morning. We have sin. The Christian's victory over sin. We have the world. He actually says, hey, we know that sinners are in the world. Not Christians, not the born again Christian. For we know that we are in God. Hallelujah. What do you mean you're in God? Sure, lots of people claim they're in God. Well, the other bunch are in the world. That's what this is. We know. So how do I know you're in God? Oh, sure, I know I'm in God. Well, why are you living in the world? Why are you living like a worldling? Why is it the world molds your thinking and your decisions and your attitudes and your actions? Saints, you need to be very careful. The born-again Christian has overcome the world. He's gained a victory over the world. He's not of this world, but he does live a normal life in this world. And you know what? He's gained a victory over sin. He's not a habitual. He hates his sin. Oh, does he sin? Of course he can sin. 1 John chapter 1 deals with it. If you sin and you're walking in the light and you desire Christ, come back to the blood for a cleansing again. We're being real here. But saints, it's amazing in these two verses. What we see, those born of God do not habitually sin. And look what it's linked to. And the wicked one touches them not. Now notice that sinning habitually is connected to Satan touching you. Notice that. You can't have both. But if you're not a habitual sinner, if you're not living as a sinner anymore, then listen to me. Satan cannot even touch you. And we're going to explain what that means. It also says here, the wicked one touches him not. And we know that we're of God and the whole world lieth in wickedness. Notice that those who the devil cannot touch, They're not in the world. If you're in the world, he will touch you, I can assure you. So we have all of this in these verses, that there's a great victory. You can tell a born-again Christian, look at their attitude towards the sin, towards the world, and towards the devil, and you can identify a real Christian. Sure, I know you're born again. Not because, hey, don't get discouraged here this morning if you sin. Who hasn't? But are you getting up again? Are you walking in holiness? Are you fleeing sin? Do you hate your sin? Do you grieve over your sin? Do you repent over your sin? Do you confess your sin? That is the real issue. Look with me here. And I believe these scriptures are powerful at identifying the born again Christian and his victory over the devil. You see, if you're born again, you need to know what this victory over the devil is. Look with me in verse 18. He that is begotten of God. Okay, he's going to explain what it looks like to be born again, or the experience of the born again Christian. He that is begotten of God keepeth himself. This is a mark of a born again Christian. He keepeth himself. It's not just God doing it. It's something he actually does. He keeps himself. What does that mean? He keeps an eye on his spiritual condition. That's what it actually means. It means to forcibly withhold something, keeping something away from you. What's he keeping away from him? He's keeping away a life of sin, and he's also keeping away the devil. A real child of God, begotten or birthed of God, do you know what they do? They keep themselves. They're actually saying, I want to keep sin out of my life, and I want to keep the devil out of my life. And they're keeping themselves, and they'll use force to do it. Saints, there's got to be life in a born again Christian. And they say, man, I hate this world. I hate sin. Sin is my enemy, you know. Sin is your enemy. You can't play with sin and not get burnt. If you take sin in your bosom, you're going to get burnt literally. Yes. And I assure you, sin is the same. You cannot embrace sin and yet not get burnt. You definitely will get burnt. And it says here that you keep it at arm's length. The born-again Christian keeps sin at arm's length. Or this is what the word means as well. To build a wall of protection around you against something. Or to draw a military line in front of you against your enemy. Since sin is your enemy. Yes. So is the world your enemy. And so is the devil your enemy. And I assure you, the playground of the devil is this world and sin. Yes. Conscious, knowing sin. Where you play with the sin, the devil will play with you. Where you stray out, oh, sure, we can be like the world to reach the world. No, you can't. Right. No, you can't. You'll get yourself in trouble. Now you're on his ground. Sure, I'm going to evangelize. How much evangelism do you do in the pub? Sure, I'll sit with my mates and have a beer and I'll tell them about Christ. I've heard it plenty of times. Do you know the greatest sin of pastors in America today is, or at least one of them, drunkenness. Drunkenness. You know why? The plate was social drinking. That's where it began. Sure, there's no problem with that. I can do it. Now you've got men in the pulpits and they're suddenly rushed to hospital with liver disease. If you're not sinning, it wouldn't give you liver disease, I can assure you. You've played with something. It may not damn your soul, but it'll wreck your, I tell you, it'll affect your walk with God. That's one sure. We're beginning to see, what does a real believer look like? He has built a wall around him. He keepeth himself. Saints, if you're born of God, keep yourself. You have all the grace of God, all the Holy Ghost. You have the power of God. Keep yourself. There's two choices. Either you keep yourself or you're going to begin to drift into things that will play with your soul and will destroy your walk with God. You cannot do that without it affecting your soul. Sin actually wars against your soul. That's what it does. And this is what we're to do. Keep yourself. If you're born again, keep yourself from sin. but also from the devil. How do you identify the devil? Oh, well, I'd never let the devil into my life, but do you let sin into your life? Oh, I want to build a wall against the devil. But is the world your enemy? And the way it thinks, since the devil uses this world and uses sin to get an inroads to a Christian's life, to sabotage their walk, destroy their prayer life, to undermine their time in the Bible. The devil uses these things. When your time of prayer comes under attack, it's not circumstances. It's not the pizza you ate last night. There is a real devil, and he'll target your life of holiness. You're in a war. Yes. You're in a war. You know, I spoke to an RUC man up north many years ago, and he was being inducted as a young man into the police force. And on the very morning that the sergeant was welcoming them in officially, they passed their training, mortars had gone off. I forget how many got killed, like 9 policemen got killed or whatever it was. And the sergeant stood up before all these young guys, and there was a heavy cloud over them. And he said, "Young men, welcome to the police in Northern Ireland. You are a legitimate target for the rest of your life. Even off duty, you're always going to be a target." Can I tell you, the devil wants to destroy your prayer life, your walk of holiness, your evangelism, your testimony, your example. You are in a war. It's not just little sins. It's not just influences of the world. It's not your own coldness. There's a real devil, and he is after you. He wants to sift you. He wants to take away your testimony. Saints, welcome to the warfare. The day you got born again, you're in it. But here in verse 18, look at this wonderful statement. Something else about the born again Christian. "And that wicked one touches him not." Don't qualify it. That is an absolute statement. If you are born again, you will not live in a life, a habitual, lawless life of sin. Neither can the devil touch you. Hey, I'm talking about a babe in Christ. Yes. I'm talking about a new Christian struggling with sin. Remember 1 John 1. If you sin, you have an advocate. Yeah. Even Christ. Chapter 2. We read about that. So this is talking about a real born again. Those who are begotten of God, listen to the promise. The wicked one touches him not. He cannot. The Bible says it. It's impossible. If you are born again, I don't care how weak you are. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how much you struggle. The wicked one cannot touch you. Listen to what that word "touch" means. We need to understand this. Saints, you need to know where the line is drawn. Yes. You need to know, devil, you cannot cross this line. You may tempt me. You may have won this fight. But there's a line that you cannot cross. Listen to what the devil cannot do. Forget about what you've ever heard. Forget about what the television preacher says or your own thoughts or feelings say. Listen to the Bible. What does this word "touch" mean? It means to attach, to cling to hold fast to hold you and not to let go, to have a firm grip on you where you cannot get free, or to fasten himself to you. The devil cannot do that to those who are begotten or birthed of God. I'm telling you what the Bible says. The Bible says if you're born of God, if you're begotten of God, if you've had an experience with him, the devil cannot attach himself to you. Now this Greek word is fascinating. It's used for marital intercourse or sexual relations. It means two people dwelling together in harmony and in relationship. To live in the same place, that's what the word means. Now the Bible says if you're born of God, the devil cannot dwell in the same place where you are. This is what, remember what I'm saying, this is what the devil cannot do. It means a modifying influence. Listen to this. It means to be touched in such a way that that person modifies you in some way, or he has an influence. It means to put fire to something, or to set something on fire. It means to handle with your hands and to appropriate for your own purpose, or to permanently harm according to your own thinking. The devil can't do that with a real Christian. I'm telling you, I don't care if you're saved today or if you're saved 50 years. I don't care if you're on the mountaintop of victory or whether you sinned last night and you've come in here this morning saying, "Oh God, forgive me." I'm telling you, the devil cannot attach himself to you. He cannot join himself in a marital relationship. He cannot lay a hold of you in an unbreakable grip. The Bible says it. And if you don't know what the Bible says, the devil play with your doctrine and your thoughts and your feelings. This word toucheth, and that wicked one. Who's the wicked one? It's the devil. That wicked one, he is wicked. Do you know what? He wants to lay a hold of you. He wants to touch you. He does want to modify you. You know, you can modify a car. Let the right person get into that car, it'll do things it didn't do before. Let the right person into your computer, you go, "Man, it's a new computer. What did you do?" "Well, I just modified things. I actually put a new brain in it. I changed things." That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to modify individuals. But the Bible says he cannot. He can. One of the signs that you are born again, one of the marks that you're born again, the devil cannot mess with you in this specific way. We will come to other things. He can assault you, but he cannot finally overcome you. John 14:30, Jesus says, "The prince of this world." Who's the prince of this world? It's the devil. It's the evil one, the wicked one. If you want to live in this world, I'll tell you who the prince is. It's not. See, all the earth is the Lord's. All of it belongs to the Lord. It doesn't belong to the devil. But this world system, the powers, the governmental establishments, who is behind that? The devil is the prince of this world. If you want to live your life in this world, that's who you're dealing with. That's why I don't want to be a part of this world. He can assault you, but Jesus said, "The prince of this world cometh." He is coming. Would you right now like to know the devil himself? I mean the devil, the one who was in the Garden of Eden. The one who came against Moses and came against David and came against Peter and came against Paul. That same Lucifer, the one who was the covering cherub. Would you like to know that he who led the rebellion in heaven and a third of the angels fell, and who brought a rebellion in the Garden of Eden and had humanity cast out of the garden? Would you like to know he as a person is coming to you? Would you like to know that? You see, Christ said, "He cometh, he is coming to me." He's just coming right now. I know, I can hear his Slewfoot, old Slewfoot, they used to call him. Here he comes, I can hear his footsteps now. But listen to what Christ said. He said, "And hath nothing in me." There's nothing in me he can lay a hold of. I wonder if you can say that. If the devil comes knocking in your door, is there anything in your heart or your attitude? Do you have an anger problem? Do you have some unforgiveness? Is there something there? And the devil's come and said, "I'm going to use that to absolutely sabotage him or her and make her life hell. I'm going to make them miserable. I'm going to create a warfare on this home." See, we're dealing with the real devil. He looks for something and says, "I want to carry out a warfare. I want to destroy everything, your confidence in the blood. I'm here to fight you." But Christ said, "Hey, he had nothing in me." I'm so glad that because we're born again and we're in Christ, the devil has to come through Christ to get at me. He does, even when I fail. Even should I fall flat on my face and I get back up again, I'm still in Christ. And the devil has to come through him to get at me. That's what the Bible teaches. Look at verse 19. It says, "The whole world lieth in wickedness." the whole world of humanity. Mankind, our culture, all the people out there in Limerick City, all the population, straight from the Catholic priest all the way through to the prostitutes on the street, that world of humanity in our city. The Bible actually said it lieth in wickedness. You know the word lieth, it means outstretched. It's the picture of someone lying on a lounge, relaxing. They're not disturbed. They're unaware of the danger. They're actually lounging around, yawning, relaxing, resting. This is what they're like. That's what the world is like. They're there lounging around. And the Bible actually says that this entire world lieth in wickedness. Notice that. It says lying in wickedness. Or, in, as it says in verse 19, the wicked one. In verse 19 it says wickedness. In verse 18, the wicked one. It's the same Greek word. What's it saying? This entire world lieth in the wicked one. Those who are born of God are in God. If you're born again, you are in God. But those who are in this world, they actually lie. Do you know what? Most sinners, they don't realize their danger. Sure, I'm okay. No, you're not. No, you're not. Most sinners do not, unless the Holy Spirit. Do you know why? The Bible actually says the God of this world, Lucifer, has blinded the eyes of those who do not believe. He has blinded them. He's made their eyelids heavy. He has actually caused them to fall asleep. Now they're lounging around in the world. They're caught up with nominal activities, with family, with work, with society, with hobbies, with sports, and they're there lounging around. I've met a lot of loungers. I met a lot of people who claim to be Christians or born again. They're lounging around in the world as if no tragedy's coming. Be assured, your soul, your life has been weighed in the balance and found wanting, and judgment is coming to your house. Most people face judgment sleeping or laughing in a state of drunkenness or in denial, saying, sure, it's okay. It's not okay. The Bible says you're either in God or you're in the lap of the devil. And I assure you one thing this morning, I would not want to be resting my head on Delilah's lap. She is my enemy. She is the destroyer of my testimony and of everything that God has done in my life. She is a danger. This world is a Delilah. We cannot play with it. But the Bible says the entire world lieth in wickedness. Jesus in John 17:15, he says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world. Lord, get me out of the world. He's not going to answer it. Christ didn't pray to the Father. He said, Father, I don't pray that you take them out of the world. But listen to what he says. But that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. It's the same word, the evil one, the wicked one. What was Christ praying? I'm praying for you that you'll be kept, that a wall will be built around you, that you'll keep the enemy at arm's length, that you'll stay away from sin. I'm praying for you. I'm not praying that you'll be taken out of this world. Oh no, I want you in your family. I want you in your workplace. I want you on the high street of Limerick. I want you facing all of this world in the eye. Since I lived on an army camp with 1,500 guys, I was the only born-again Christian. They're drinking, they're running after the women. They go away for a weekend to Amsterdam to get their drugs and come back, shut the door and have a weekend getting high. It was all around me. But I tell you, I burned as a Christian in the midst of it. I overcame that world. I tell you, I slept in their bedrooms. We ate together. We laughed together. We worked together. But I lived as a Christian. I had victory on that army camp. I didn't have one Christian around me. I didn't have a pastor to pray for me. It was hard to get to a church on a Sunday. But I'm telling you, saints, I walked with this Christ in the midst of it. When I lived in Scotland, we were a team of Christians living in a house. And this wise guy come in. living half in the world and half in the church. That's how he was living, trying to live. And he sat down with me one day, and his mommy and his other brother, they're all worldly. All worldly. They always wanted to prophesy in the church, but they love to live in the world. And the mother, she always had a prophecy. Oh, God told me, I've got a vision, I've got a dream. God spoke to her more than he spoke to Isaiah or Ezekiel or Jeremiah. He really did. But you stop the bus on the way to the church, and she jumped out and she's getting her lotto ticket. This great spiritual giant of a woman. And she'd go round the corner for her ciggy, her cigarette. But she'd want to lay hands on you to get delivered from demons. God help you. The church is filled with this foolishness. Absolutely filled with it. Now, there's more said. There's more said in 1 John about our experience with the devil. We're told the devil cannot touch us if we're born of God. We don't live in the lap of the devil. We don't. We absolutely don't. And we keep ourselves from the devil. Don't walk into the plans of Satan. You know, some Christians are so stupid. They're saying, devil, come and hit me. I'm going to walk right into your ground. I'll sit there having a social drink in the pub. Not talking about the Lord at all. You're tempting God. That's what you're doing. You're telling the devil, come hit me a whack. And I won't even know whether there's a God or not. You need to be very, very careful with this. It says in 1 John chapter 2, 13, I write unto you young men. He's dealt with little children and with fathers. He gives specific, in other words, in your spiritual walk, not everyone's a babe or a child in Christ. If you're born again, you're a child of God. That's where you begin. You're a babe. You're a child. Then you become a young man. Then you become a father. But all of it is to be born again. Satan can't touch any of them. Okay, and I'm going somewhere before the end of this. Don't think I'm talking about a Satanless Christian life, because we don't have that. There's a real devil, I want to assure you. But listen to what he says to the young men. I write unto you young men, because ye have overcome the wicked one. What's that word overcome? It's Nikea that we mentioned last week. It means to conquer, be victorious, or to prevail. The young men are victorious over the devil. They've been in a fight with the devil. Notice it doesn't say that about the little children. It says about the young men. Do you realize you need to grow in this walk of gaining a victory over the devil? Maybe you've lost a fight along the way. Maybe he's come and played games with you and run circles around. Saints, we need to grow into young men. There's a lot of old men in the church. They're still children that haven't even got to being young men. We must grow. How are we actually going to do that? You see, Nikea, overcoming the wicked one. Do you realize you can overcome the wicked one? Every born-again Christian can be victorious over the devil. It's a state of growing, of maturing, of moving on with God. This denotes a battle. There is a battle. There is a fight. There's a hand-to-hand fight. Then it says in verse 14, I've written unto you young men because, and this is how they got the victory, ye are strong. Notice that. You've got to be strong to gain a victory. If you're weak, he'll play games with you. He'll pummel you into the ground. Do you realize who you're dealing with? Saints, if you play with things in this world, you're dealing with a real emissary, with a real adversary. He wants to destroy you. He wants to confuse you. He wants to bash you into the ground. We are in a warfare. But notice these young men, they're strong. Man, how did they get strong enough to defeat the devil and to overcome and to conquer and to beat him? How did they get strong enough? And the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The word of God abideth in you. Saints, put this word in your heart. Yeah. Don't just read it. Don't stop reading this book. Yeah. Why is the devil running all over you? Why is he running circles around you? Why is he kicking you around the place? It's not because you don't read the word. You don't let the word abide in you. See the words of the Spirit. Let it dwell in you. Let it abide in you. Let it be in you. If you neglect this book, you're saying, devil, come kick me around. If you don't hold fast to this book, you know, that's where the church, we're all into the Spirit now. We don't believe in the book anymore. This is given by the Holy Spirit of God. This is one of the great tools of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave me a book that's infallible, that's perfect, that has no mistakes in it. Saints, these young men have gained a victory because the Word of God abideth in them. It says in 1 John 3:8, he that committeth sin is of the devil. Those in the church who habitually, constantly, deliberately, they're angry, they're unforgiven, they're getting drunk, they're lying in a bed of sin, you're of the devil. Is that clear enough? Do you know the Bible is very clear? You who habitually commit your sin and you've got no desire to stop and you're not repenting and you're not fighting your sin, you're saying, oh, sure, I'll be okay. You've married everything. The world to come and this world, you've married them. That cannot happen. The devil has deceived you because he who committeth sin is of the devil. For the devil sinneth from the beginning and he's never stopped. For this purpose was the Son of God made manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil in relation to sin. Jesus came and died on the cross to destroy the works of the devil against you. That's why he came. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God. Neither he that loveth not his brother. You know, those who do not love their brother in the church, they're of the devil. Those who are fighting, angry, bitter, jealous, and they say, I'm born again, I've got a testimony. You're of the devil. You're of the devil. That's what the Bible says. If you're always angry, you're of the devil. Saints, when you get born again, you're delivered, you gain a victory over the devil. The devil can't touch me. He cannot attach himself. This is such a real thing. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, the Antichrists. You've overcome them. You've gained the victory over the Antichrist, over false teaching, over deception in the church. The Antichrist isn't in the world. He's in the church. The many Antichrists, they went out from us because they were not of us. Where do you get all the early Antichrists in the first century? They began their ministry in the church. But you know what? Because they wouldn't abide by the Word of God, but they knew it all, they went out from us. Many deceivers do that. You be careful of men who know all about the church and believe the Bible and they can tell you everything, they've got a testimony, but they don't obey the Word of God and they're not in a local church. I know all of us haven't been for a time for many genuine reasons. But since you need to be very careful of those, they're rebels against truth. I will not submit. Man, you're a rebel. The Bible talks all through. We're all in submission. I'm in submission to you. You ought to be in submission to me. The kindness of me, we want to live that life out together. Not bearing down on each other. There's a heart attitude in all of this. But let me say, this is what the Bible teaches, is that the overcoming life, a life of victory over sin, over the world, and over the devil. Can I ask a question? And I know it's not a live question here, but it is in the church of this hour. Can a Christian be demonized? Can he be demon possessed? Can he be indwelt by demon entities? Not if 1 John 5 is true. If 1 John 5 is true, the devil cannot touch a born again Christian. He cannot attach himself or cling to them. It says in Colossians 1:12, about giving thanks to God. Listen to what it says. Who hath delivered us? What a word. From the power of darkness. Now notice the sequence here. First, he delivers us from the power of darkness. Thank God he saved me. How did he save you? He delivered me. You speak to Christians, oh, got delivered in this state, in this state, in this state. Very few talk about the day I got saved, I got delivered from the power of darkness. Notice what it says. This is biblical teaching. Who hath delivered us out of the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. What happens first? First you get delivered from the power of Satan. Then you get translated over into the kingdom of his dear son. The word translated means transferred. To change nations, countries, transfer your citizenship. You move from one place to the other. You've changed. But first you have to be delivered. Since I got delivered from the power of hell, then I was translated into the kingdom of God. You don't get into the kingdom of God without being delivered. There are no demonized Christians in the kingdom of God. There are in the church. There's plenty in the church. Jesus also taught this very clearly. Since I didn't always believe this, but I did when I studied the Bible. Matthew 12, Jesus says that a demon-possessed man was brought to him. Notice he didn't come himself. No demon-possessed person in the New Testament ever came to Christ. They're always brought. They cannot come by themselves. If you're demon-possessed, you won't come without a miracle of God. It's impossible. Notice Jesus said a demon-possessed man is brought to him. So he tells a parable. He says, first bind the strong man, then you enter in the house. What's he talking about? The house is the man. The strong man is the demon in the man. This man has a demon in him. But Christ teaching, he says, look, I cannot enter into the man until the strong man is bound. I can't go in there. I can't come to live in this vessel until the strong man is out, until he's ejected or driven out. Matthew 12 verse 43 teaches the same. When the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, gone out, cast out, someone cast out the demon from a man. This is Christ teaching. He walketh about in dry places seeking rest, and he findeth none. He then saith, this is the demon, I will return into my house. What's the house? It's the man. So he got cast out of a man. I do believe in demons. I do believe people can be demon possessed. I do believe there's houses in this city. Talking about people and the devil. Demons live within them. Devils are real. They are. You mess with that occultic world, you're messing with fire. I tell you, mediums, all of that trash, Ouija boards, yeah. You are playing with demon spirits. Yeah. Seances and everything else, demons are caught up in that. Mm-hmm. And people don't realize it. They don't realize, oh, they say, sure, it's a spirit. Oh, yes, it's a spirit, all right. It absolutely is a spirit. This demon wanders about in dry places. But he says, I will return into my house from where I came out. And when he has come, he findeth it. Listen to this, because the Bible teachers don't say this. He findeth it empty. Do you hear that? I know it doesn't mean much to you, but it does in what's taught across the church. He findeth it empty, swept and garnished. Can you have an individual come into the church who's on drugs and get set free or delivered and they don't get born again? Yes.
Right.
Do you know what Peter says? He says, you can have a pig come in. What's a pig? It's a person. He's actually, what is this pig? The pig comes in, it gets washed. Man, it gets perfumed. Man, it sits at the dinner table with you with its trotters up on the table and it smells beautiful and it's clean from head to foot. Surely they must be born again. No, they're not a sheep, they're a pig. Oh, but they got delivered from drugs and they used to kill people and they used to do this. Okay, let's just wait a second. Do you know how you know a pig? Do you know how a pig that's sitting at your table, do you know how they're really a pig and not a sheep? Just wait a little while and they'll be out there rolling in the muck. You know why? Yeah. Their nature was never changed. They got washed but never saved. Yeah. They didn't get born again. The pig didn't become a sheep. They're still a pig, but they're a washed pig. They're a perfumed pig. They're a beautiful pig. You can put a pink ribbon between its ears. It's still a pig. You know why? Its nature says, I love this world. I want this world. I love my sin. I do not want to change my character. You can wash me. I could get rid of my drugs. But you know what? This is my world. I will be angry. I will do this. I will not submit. You're a pig. Not saying you're a pig. But I'm telling you, they are a pig. Jesus is saying, the demon actually has a conversation. He comes back to the man. He says, hey, look, it's swept, it's garnished, it's decorated, it looks beautiful. They think they're a Christian. Everyone else thinks they're a Christian. But they're empty. Nobody's living there. Do you know what an empty house is? Nobody's living there. You can go to it. There's no lights on. Oh, but it looks beautiful. Do you know what the demon says? I can move back in. Why? It's empty. Nobody is there. Then goeth he and taketh him with himself seven other spirits. More wicked than himself. And they enter in and they dwell there. They live there. Do I believe people can be demon possessed? Yes. Do I believe in demons? Yes. Do I believe individuals can have many demons living in them? I do. Do I believe people are sitting in churches all over the place with lots of knowledge and experiences who even prophesy and yet they have demons in them? Yes, I do. I absolutely do. You know why? Because this Bible tells me so. But they're not born of God. Because this Bible says the real born again Christian, really birthed of God, the devil, the wicked one, Lucifer, cannot touch them. He cannot even latch himself on them. It's not a case of indwelling. He can't even lay a hold of them. They can't even, the demons of hell can't even attach themselves to a real Christian. When you begin to look at that, man, I've got so much to say, but I need to cut to the chase. We're going to open up the gate here and rush across the field. You know, if you don't want to walk away all around those fields, you just open up the gate. If you live in the countryside, take a shortcut over to the road you're going to. I've got an awful lot to say on victory over the devil because the Bible teaches it. Now all across the church, from the preachers say, sure, I've got demons. I've listened to them, some men I knew. Said, sure, I've got my demons living in me. My Bible, they were sent out to cast demons out.
Yeah.
That's what all through. They went out and they cast the demons out. Now we have preachers and leaders and saying, oh, sure, I had demons in me. Do you think I'm going to sit and listen to a man who confesses he's got demons, fallen angels living in him? It's all through the church. Let me give you a warning. And you're protected here. But I grew up in this. So did Candace. We're saturated with it. This is all you heard when I was in the church years ago. Soul ties. Breaking of generational curses. Spiritual warfare strategies. Anointing door handles. House, spiritual house cleaning. Ley line self-deliverance. Demons in bags. I'm telling you the truth. In London, the biggest Pentecostal church, they handed them all out little brown bags and said, now what's that for? You cough your demon into it. When the Holy Spirit moves, cough your demon into the brown bag and make sure you close it afterwards. I'm telling you the truth. Do you know what? Any demon that can live in a little brown bag, I don't worry about. That demon isn't going to bother me, I can assure you. If you can put him in a little brown bag, I'm talking about a real devil, I'll discourage you.
Yes.
That can tempt you. Do you know all of this started? Do you know where it actually started? With Jesse Penn Lewis. In 1913, from 1907 to 1913, 100 years ago. And I've got all our books on the cross and they're wonderful. Wonderful Bible teacher. But you know what? She started to teach this. Christians can be demonized or have, though they can be very sincere and they're really born again, but they have demons in them. She taught that. And you know who shamed it against? The Pentecostal revival. Her book, War Against the Saints, or War on the Saints, was written against the Pentecostal revival. And she said, do you know the Welsh revival? Sure got invaded with demons. And Evan Roberts, he got deceived by demons. That's what she taught. And you know where Evan Roberts lived after the Welsh revival? After a nation was changed and 100,000 saved in 6 months. You know where he ended up? In her house. And she started teaching this. Christians can be demonized. You know, you tongue speakers, you're demonized. It began with her. 100 years later, it's all the stupid Pentecostals and charismatics are running about saying, oh, we have demons and you have demons. We all have demons. That's a big change. We didn't used to believe that. Man. In Revelation chapter 2, verse 24, the letter to Thyatira, the church that was ruled by Jezebel. She was gifted as a prophetess. She had a gifted ministry of Bible teaching. She was a prophetess in a church in the first century. Hey, I don't want to go back to all the churches of the first century. Oh, we want to go back to the early church. Which one? Yeah. There's a lot of churches have gone back to Thyatira. Here's this woman. She is gifted as a prophet. She knows things. And listen to what it says. One statement here. And the Lord condemns the people in there. Jezebel and her little team. Listen to what it says. As they say, we know the depths of Satan. Not where depths means deep things. Profound hidden mysteries. You know what Jezebel was saying? And she was a wicked lady, but she was a Bible teacher. And she was given prophecies out. And she says, I have an open vision. And I can get into the realm of Satan. I know the hidden things, secret things that only the Holy Spirit can show me. You won't find it in the Bible, I'm sure. You won't find ley lines. Our anointing door handles, our little brown bags, our breaking of generational curses. And there's only one verse in the New Testament talks about curses, and it's in Galatians. And it says, if you want to live like that, you've gone back to law. Yeah. All those who are breaking generational curses are actually living under law, not under the grace of God. In Thyatira, they had hidden insight to Satan's kingdom, and the Lord condemned it and says, you're wrong. You're wrong. If it's not in the scripture, you're wrong. Let me close with this, the warfare of a real Christian. In 2 Corinthians 2 and 11, it says, Satan can get an advantage of us. Saints, the war is real. It is hot. Have you ever plummeted into discouragement? He can get advantage of us. It means the upper hand. It means he has intellectual plans to get a foothold into your life. It is possible. How is it? You don't forgive others. Or in Ephesians 4:27, it says, neither give place to the devil. Don't give him a foothold. Don't give him an area in your life. Why? What do you mean? Don't, verse 26, don't have anger in your heart. Or verse 28, don't steal like you used to. Don't give him a foothold in your life. Don't give him a place. Or Ephesians 6:16, it talks about the fiery darts of the wicked one fired against real Christians. Saints, I'm telling you, the battle is hot. It's hand-to-hand combat with Lucifer and his demons. It is a real battle. I can get discouraged and it can be the result of a fight with the devil. Or I could sin against God and it's the result of the devil. Or my mind could be plagued with thoughts. Or I could have strong feelings. All of that can come from the devil. It doesn't mean you have a devil living in you. It doesn't mean you're demon possessed. It says be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a lion, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Saints, the devil is coming to devour you. What does the Bible say? Whom resist steadfast, listen this, in the faith, not with faith, in the faith. What is the faith? The biblical body of doctrine, what the Bible teaches. In other words, stand on the word of God and resist him. The Bible says in James 4, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Do you see how much teaching there is? Revelation 12:10, when the accuser of the brethren comes, we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto death. Or 2 Corinthians 12:7, Paul says he had a thorn in the flesh. What was it? A messenger of Satan, a demon. The thorn in the flesh wasn't sickness. It was a messenger from Satan sent to Paul. Why? To buffet him. That's what it means. Every time you get to the door, someone stand there and they begin to punch you. You walk down the street, you go to the prayer meeting. I'm going to church this morning and there's a demon standing at your door and he's going to buffet you. It was a spiritual force. And he says, I'll hammer you, I'll batter you, I'll punch you. Saints, that was the thorn in the flesh, and Paul had it 3 times. You know, they say, just rebuke a demon, cast him out. This is a demon you won't get rid of. Yeah. 3 times he asked the Lord, Lord, will you take away this thorn in the flesh? No. Do you realize how unbiblical today's demonology is? See all the big preachers. Derek Prince, I love him. He was one of the great Bible teachers in the church. On the cross, on holiness, on the church. But don't listen to him about demons. He was wrong. Saints, I'm telling you, this generation went wrong and led teachings in the church that have destroyed us. And we sit there blaming anger in the church. Sure, it's a demon. Show me that in the Bible. Right. There's smoke and that's a demon.
No, it's not.
You're scared. You've got a demon. Paul got scared. Paul got scared. And you know what? The Lord came to him and says, don't be afraid. Remember Abraham? He got scared. Abraham, do not fear. I'm your great reward. I'm your shield. I'm everything you need. Saints, there's a lot of teaching. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. But Satan hindered us. You know what it means? Blow up the bridges. Destroy the roads. Paul says, I wanted to come unto you. But Satan hindered me. He did do it. 1 Timothy 4:1, it talks about in the latter times, many in the church will give, talking about today, many in the church will give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. An army of demons are going to come teaching the Bible. Do you hear me before we close? In this generation, there's an army of demons, seducing spirits that are teaching the word of God. What do they teach? Well, it tells us in the next verse. It says, forbidding to marry. Do you know any institution in this city that forbids a man to marry? It's a doctrine of demons. The devil promoted that. Listen, it gives another example. And commanding to abstain from meats. You shouldn't eat that. I've had people in my house and they come, do you want a glass of water? Sure do. Is that means water? The Antichrist will get me if I drink that. I'm telling you the truth. This is the New World Order plan and they're putting their water into our taps. I know people who are dominated by this. You know what? They're the most rebellious people against the word of God. Yeah. But here, they won't drink your tap water. But they're there, they don't obey the word of God. I'm telling you. Saints, you cannot make rules. Listen to what it says. Which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Eat your food. Saints, you won't eat anything in this hour. It's a doctrine of demons when you get on the side issues. I don't care where it's in. You can't get married. Or you can't eat meat. Spiritually before God. That's a devil. That's from the pit of hell. You can be tempted. You can be sifted. You can have deception come to you. But there's one thing the devil can't do with someone who's born again. That wicked one touches him not. Verse 21, little children, keep yourselves from idols. Saints, the born-again Christian cannot be touched, indwelt. I don't believe in demonized Christians, load of trash. I've seen it all. I've seen how much destruction it's brought in the church. And I used to believe it. And I used to be a part of that. Not into a lot of the foolish things, but into a lot of it. I didn't know any better. But you know what? When you read this book and you come back and you test all things with the Word of God, you'll throw out a lot of teaching of Jesse Penn Lewis or anybody else. If they speak the Word, I'll believe it. But as soon as they deviate, I'm not going there, because it'll mess your brain. Please stand with me here.